Feel sometimes a bit like Jonah, and you would like to go the opposite direction. Well, that was a little bit of my case here. I told my wife, I said I had a bit of a stubborn streak, and the Lord repented my heart. So I'm rejoicing for that, as He has done many times. As I think about my spiritual pilgrimage, I thought about many, many things. And at first, my wife reminded me that, well, you have 20 minutes. And I said, no, I think I have 40. But if I don't watch it, we won't get through those even. I was born to a father and a mother who were very loving, very kind. Names were Mike and Amanda Eicher. And today, I rejoice for those parents. Today, if I had to tell you or begin to pick flaws of my parents, I couldn't do it. Because I stand in accountability today, the choices that I did or did not make were mine. As a result, you are either blessed for the choice that you make, or you reap some consequences. In my case, I made a few bad choices in my life. But things that I loved and cherished about home were these. I remember explicitly, we would have prayer and fasting, and it would be the course of almost a whole day. And so us children, we'd go out and play a little bit, and we'd come back in, and then we would pray, and Mom and Dad were fasting. And so this was something that was very much a highlight in my life. I also enjoyed, as a child, I enjoyed nature, outdoors, those kind of things. And I grew up thinking I was pretty well normal in a normal family life. But I began to detecting some things as we as children grew. I had five other brothers and one sister. And did that sister have it made? I mean, we could cater to her. She had it made. But we didn't always do that. And as a result, I began to feeling a little bit of rejection from some of my brothers. And I don't know if it was intentional. I'm not sure about those things this morning. But I begin to experience that. As a result of that, I begin to make some decisions. And I would find myself just totally wanting to be independent. Okay? I didn't need nobody. I didn't have to relate. I didn't have to connect. I wanted to be independent. And you brothers and sisters here this morning, even today, I must continue to bring that into the subjection and the lordship of Jesus Christ. If I don't, you know, and an independent spirit somewhat acts in this manner. You come up against a situation, and, you know, sometimes there's no way out, okay? There's just no way out. And so what you attempt to do is you attempt to protect your heart from that relationship. And so that heart draws back, and it draws back. And pretty soon you begin closing your heart to fellowship, relationships, and all those. And that's basically what began happening to me. I grew to be a teenager, and Mom and Dad attended back then what we called the King Beachy Church. I don't know if anybody here identifies with that, but that's where we were. And it was a fairly decent church, I thought, as a teenager to attend. Yet there were some things there that I brought into question. As a result, rather to resolve those and move on with the church, I chose to separate myself from the church. And I remember as I began heading down that direction, the pleas of Mom. Mother was a praying saint, and she would pray, and she would pray, and she would pray. And Dad, the same. He seemed like he was always there for us. He encouraged us. But I chose otherwise, and so I took a direction. And today, if you, I don't know where you're at, but if you ponder the wages of sin, if you have anger and bitterness welled up within your heart, I'm going to share something with you here today. It'll take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. That's basically what happened to me. I left the presence of the security of the church. And when your heart is emptied, as the scripture tells us, it must be filled again. Mine was filled with a very bitter, angry spirit. I said within myself, I will be my own man and I will do my own thing. And I pursued that. And I share this little bit of my life with much regret. But it was reality. It was a part of my life. And so I was this angry, violent man. And anyone who crossed my path, I had a desire to hurt him. I had a desire to get even. And yet not really understanding what was wrong. Yet I continued to pursue that and quickly gained a multitude of comrades who added fuel to the fire. And so life was completely out of control. I was deep, deep dark into the wages of sin. And I continued to travel that way for probably a year and a half. Many things happened. I don't want to talk about them today. But there was kind of a climax to all this. I was a trucker at the time, north of Dayton, Ohio, on I-75. I was making a run. I had made my drop, and I was headed on the way back home. I was very interested in a young girl. I thought about it many times. She pleased me well. She wasn't a Philistine, but her dad's nickname was she was a spot. She now is my beautiful wife. I love that woman. She's been so good for me. But as I was heading home, I was hammering down. I was in violation of the law, and the more sin progressed, I was brushing against the law all the time, and things were getting bad. And so I stood on I-75 on the road, and state trooper and I had it out. I used to cherish a song. I fought the law, but the big law won. That night, as he closed that cell door and I heard the clang of metal, I stood behind that door and I can still feel the rage in my heart. I wanted so desperately to tear down the door and get to him. I was angry. At that point, I began to realize my life is completely out of control. But you know, brothers and sisters, where it all began was that little seed of bitterness and anger. There's where it all began. And Satan used that opportunity to feed that, to grow that, to a man that I didn't really believe I was, yet I was that man. As a result, I got out of there. I was able to come home. And then I began to thinking about life. And Mother would often ask me, Denny, where will you go? Where are you headed? What does the future hold for you? And I would ponder these things, yet I couldn't give up. I just couldn't give up. Finally, one day, God's Spirit was so real. I begin to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here am I. God begin to speak. And I guess this morning, I can't give you a definite day and an hour when I really fully surrendered to the Lord. But because of the sin in my life and everything that was there, it was such a process. And you know what is so amazing? That once you've been there, the way back is so much harder. It's so much more challenge to all that. And to rid the heart and the life of all this that was in there. And God was so patient. And this morning when I tell you I am blessed in Christ Jesus, I am blessed. Hallelujah for the saving blood of Jesus Christ. One of my precious scriptures this morning is Romans chapter 6. Have you ever read that chapter and identified with what Paul is teaching there? He's telling us that in the crucifixion and the burial of our death as Christ died, see, the bondage or the hold of sin is broken. And there's what I was beginning to experience. And as all of this transforming, the Bible tells us that by the renewing of our mind, we are transformed, right? That's what the Bible teaches us. As my mind process began to change, and I began to seek the things of God, my heart was changing. Today I'm excited, I rejoice, and my wife reminded me, you are to be there to share and not to preach. And I am rejoicing today for the salvation of Jesus Christ. To simply stand still and see the glory of the Lord. Well, I met my wife, Marie, and she's here today. And God bless you, Marie, for being the faithful partner that you have been. And so many times the discerning insight she has as I plunge forward, she says, wait a minute, Danny, let's think about this. Just think about this a little bit. And so I must give a listening ear because she's godsend. The first year of our marriage was extremely rough. The wagers were put on that marriage that it would last 1 year and it would be over. And it was almost proven right. A couple of people who had come together that desired somewhat their own way. We had major adjustments. One of the most common treatments in our marriage was the silent treatment. Seemed to avail nothing. We got nowhere. But we began to learn that we had to open up, relate, communicate. As a result, today I love helping troubled marriages. And brothers and sisters, we have many in our circles today. It is astounding to me to believe that people, man and wife, could live together for 30 and 40 years and have been divorced in spirit all that time. The children leave the presence of the home and they look at each other and they say, who are you? As a result, what happens? Those things are happening in our midst. I believe we need to point them back to Romans 6 and a number of these scriptures. And many of these people will tell you, I am born again. I'm born again. But yet, as we die daily to the authority of Jesus Christ in our life, the strength and the bondage of sin is broken. And it no longer holds that control. We got married. Beside my paper, I wrote marriage. A great day. Tell you a little interesting comment about our marriage. The day that we got married, it was more like a funeral than it was a marriage. Many people were weeping. I don't understand that. We took photos of the marriage day or the wedding day. None of them turned out. I don't have a picture to show you of our day that we rejoiced in. Yet Marie and I were happy as we were married that day. Next year of marriage was rough, as I had already commented. Then we were introduced to a dear old brother, and he still attends our church, dear old brother John Yoder. And I don't know, some of you here probably know him. I went to seek help. I needed some help. I remember explicitly he took us into a little old summer porch and he sat down and he looked me in the eye and he said this. Now, Denny, he said, I'm going to tell you something. I love people that are straight up front. You never have to guess what they're thinking. He said, if you're here because you desire to be here for the right reasons, I'm interested. But he said, if you're not, I'm not interested. It's done. I knew at that point I had to make a choice. I said, Brother John, I'm interested. John began to mentor us, began to relate to us. We went to the church where John was pastor. Church was very patient with us. Very patient with us. I remember some times in coming to that church, and through all this time, I was still somewhat struggling with the sin of alcohol, and there were times that I become frustrated. I said, God, I've got to have victory. I need victory. And God was very patient and always there. Process, they were so patient. They loved us. We grew and we grew. And then my heart was just stricken with grief. There's dissension began to break out in the church. And here again, I had a decision. I was coming up against that wall. Am I going to go silent? Am I going to pull back my heart? Am I going to do all these things? We stayed a while. Then we felt the call to leave. And we moved on. Moved on to unchurched areas. And basically our whole marriage, we have lived in unchurched communities, yet close enough to be able to be involved in a church. I've learned to appreciate that. It's taught me a lot. Either you stand or you don't. Either you're real or you're not. Either your heart is in the right place or it's not. And so God has challenged me deeply with that. We moved to a place called Fremont, Indiana, where a number of things took place. I do believe, and I'm not very good on dates, but I do believe that my wife's sister, Susan, died at that point. I had a brother that was murdered there. And then a little later, we had a little grandchild, Brother Jeff and Sister Dawn, who went to be with the Lord. That was another real challenge in our life. And so we joined another church. And we were there for approximately 18 years. And I began to realize something as I was at that church. I was desiring a deeper relationship with the Lord. I was desiring victorious living. I was tired of seemingly come to the same point all the time. And I knew when I came to that point, I would probably stumble and fall. I wanted something more. One night driving home, I heard a message. And the pastor that was preaching this message was relating the concept of being filled with the Spirit. And there was something that struck a note in my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't believe I have surrendered as I ought to surrender. I don't believe I'm where I need to be. And God spoke to me. He began to take me to scripture after scripture after scripture that expounded on this concept. Romans 8:1 is that one of those. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then God began to reveal to me that I was probably far more carnally minded than I would ever admit. I was living at Fremont. I remember, I do believe I had three businesses going at the time. We were making money. Hey, it was great. If you wanted to buy a farm, you could buy a farm. If you wanted to buy this, you bought this. And away we went. One evening, I had some of the children with me. Worked till 1 o'clock at morning. Came home to find my beloved wife sitting in a rocking chair, weeping her heart out. I said, hon, what's the matter? Things are going good. She said, this is not life. This is not life. Short time later, God gave me a vision of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that vision this morning. I will never forget it. I woke up. I was sweating. It seemed like reality was there. And yet God had another message. What are you doing with life? At that point, I lost my vision for a monetary empire. Today, I have none. I don't have that. The boys told me not too long ago, Dad, what's the matter with you? I said, well, I'm feeling good. I'm rejoicing. You see, the vision, the focus was changing. So I got rid of the cabinet business. I pretty well got rid of the construction business. I hung on to a portion of the farm. I enjoy the farm today. We raise sheep. Those sheep have taught me a lot concerning the church. If you want to observe church life, go to a flock of sheep and simply sit down and just observe. They'll tell you what you need to know, really. And then it's make the application to what you've learned. I learned so much from that flock of sheep. Interesting that God would make reference to sheep, isn't it? You know when he talks about dumb before their shears? You take a sheep and you flop them on their back end and you fold their head over and they are completely helpless. All they'll do is this. You shear them off and you turn them loose. You know, and I begin to identify with all this. And God was teaching me. Well, the church that we were in for 18 years, it seemed like every year I was a Sunday school teacher. And so I would teach Sunday school and teach Sunday school. At the end of our stay at that church, I began to realize I was probably doing more preaching than teaching. I didn't know why. But it was in my heart. It was going to come out. I had to tell somebody, see? I had to tell somebody about God's great love, His saving power, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, I am learning something. I can't change anybody. But I can lead them to somebody who can. And God's word is quick. It's powerful. Amen, it is. And I've watched God do things I couldn't imagine would happen. We were there for some time and I grew a bit restless. There was something more in life. I didn't know what that more was maybe going to be. So we visited Lamb of God Mennonite Church. I had no idea what was in store for me there. Maybe I would have changed my mind about going. I'm not sure. But it's a blessing to be in the leadership. I praise God this morning for the leadership that we have at Lamb of God. Are we without fault? Are we perfect? The Apostle Paul said, I haven't already attained, and neither have we. But we're learning by God's grace. How to relate as a leadership team, to work together, to love one another. Yet I believe in my heart this morning, there is something more. I kind of have a little bit of, my feet are a little itchy again. So I must seek the Lord. I believe God has something more. We went to Lamb of God Church. First, I wasn't real sure how I enjoyed that. The longer I was there, the more I enjoyed it. And God began to, again, work a work in my life. We attended there a short time, and there was a call or a need for a leadership team to be put in order because Brother Robert Miller was planning to leave. And so I look at a number of brothers here or today that were there, worked with us. And I just want to tell you, brothers, today, thank you. May God bless you for the time and the effort you put into this crude old fisherman. You know, he was pretty rough around the edges. He just wasn't sure if he could really accept all this where everything was taking him. Finally, again, I surrendered. I laid it all down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I said, Lord, here am I. You choose. This is your work. It's not mine. I was licensed for 2 years. Then I was ordained. Then there was a transfer of leadership at that point, of which we have worked at and intently labored at up until now. I'd like to just rejoice this morning because I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I can see. And so my cry, my enthusiasm this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified, the precious blood of Christ, the power of His Word, the authority of that Word this morning. And it is so precious to me. I simply love to pick up this book, the Word of God, and handle the pages. I believe I tremble every time I'm asked to preach the seriousness of God's Word. It is the Word of God. And there is none other. It is the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I once made this statement in a public statement. I said, I believe it's the attitude of God for His desire for mankind. One man spoke up and said, I can see you're an ignorant man. Attitude is a worldly term. You shouldn't use it. That was his rebuke. So you learn at those times to say thank you for what they share with you. I love that word. And I understand today, as Paul said, I have not already attained, but I press toward the mark. And this morning I trust, and I believe that is all our mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, what is the first thing God asks? Will humble themselves. And you see, that was the biggest problem in this old sinner's heart, was pride. Was pride. I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to do it the way that the flesh desired. But I was proven, I can't. I can't. And so this morning, I rejoice. Praise God for His saving power. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting me free. I am a sinner saved by grace, and I will always be a sinner saved by grace. I long for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Have you ever contemplated that moment when Christ is going to return and is going to take His church? I challenge us this morning. The church of Jesus Christ is going on. Are you and I going with it? Are you and I going with it? The choice is ours. I encourage you this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at in life. But listen, let us never open our heart to a moment of Satan's devices. All he asks for is you to crack the door. He'll put the toe in, and then he sets up shop. And then he sets up shop. He's only there to destroy, to kill, and to bring down. And that's the work of the Satan. Heavenly Father, this morning, we rejoice for an opportunity to simply share Your great love. Oh, I thank You, Father, that You drew me when I was still lost. I thank You for precious verses like Ephesians 2:1, and You hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Lord, I was there. Thank You, Father, for bringing me to that point. Thank You for Your great love. And oh God, I pray that You would continue to open my heart to the vision of the lost. Oh Lord, help me to see the people. God, help me to bring to them the good news of salvation. And Lord, even in the church, Father, this morning, I believe in our churches across this land, there are many lost people. Oh Father, awaken us Fill us with your Spirit. Direct our steps. And Lord, each step we take would only glorify and lift up your precious name. Help me, Lord, a sinner saved by grace. In your precious name, amen. I don't know if it'd be possible.